You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three. Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes and touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Basila, a.k.a. Alonzo Beerbelly. You may know me as NBA Injury Report on Twitter. And this is episode 350. Woo-wee! On today's show, we're joined by Drew Steele, a.k.a. Scooter Toots on Twitter. You know him from posting and toasting. And we are here to give you a Knicks season preview a la food. Now, we've been previewing this Knicks season in many ways all off-season. You know, we've told you guys about what the Knicks need to do in order to be successful. We've discussed different position battles and David Fizdale's system and what the team looks like during preseason. This particular episode, it's not our definitive season preview per se, but it's for us to take a look at things through a slightly different lens, a slightly tastier lens, and that lens is food. Drew and I are going to break down 10 things from this upcoming season. Whether it's the front office being patient, Emmanuel Mudiay's existence, Tim Hardaway Jr.'s shot selection, and so much more, seven more things to be exact. And we're going to give you food analogies to explain what we think is going to happen this upcoming season with regards to these 10 specific things. Now, I know you guys have been missing the show. I was off a couple days. Some things cropped up that were unexpected, and I had to take care of them. Didn't have time to put out a podcast in order to make it up to you. First of all, I'm very sorry. I'm so sorry, .rubenstutter.mp3. But in order to make it up to you guys, I am going to record episodes through the weekend, so you will still get your full complement of Locked On Knicks. And one of those is, I promise, this week we are doing a voicemail bag. Got a lot of great voicemails already in the queue, but if you want to add yours, call us at 929-377-5103. All right, let's bring in Drew, and let's give you guys the Knicks season preview a la food. Hit him off!
Yes!
Drew and I have picked 10 things, whether it's players or situations or schemes or whatever it is, from this upcoming Knicks season. And we are going to explain to you our thoughts about these things and players using food metaphors. We're human beings. We love food. We're obsessed with food. We love the Knicks. We're obsessed with the Knicks. We want to combine these two loves in a way that's hopefully entertaining and informative for you guys. That's kind of, you know, the Locked On Knicks mantra. That's what we do here. We entertain. We inform. And we complain, you know? So, without any further ado, we're going to start the Knicks season preview a la food. Drew, do you feel confident enough to start us off, or do you want me to go first?
No, I can go first.
You go first. Why don't you start by explaining Emmanuel Mudiay via food?
Okay, so this may be a bit controversial in a way, and you'll see what I mean by controversial when I get there. So the best way to describe Mudiay on the Knicks is he's the, like, 5 to 7 day old, like, takeout Chinese food that you leave in the fridge. Uh-huh. And you open it up and you're like, should I reheat it? Should I not reheat it? Is it actually still good? And the answer is no. Like, it's not good. Like, to just throw it out. Yeah. And what makes it even worse is, like, you're in Brooklyn, right?
Yes.
And I lived in, you know, Northeast New Jersey for a very long time of my life. So, like, we've had an opportunity to eat like really, really good Chinese food in like Chinatown.
Oh yeah.
So like takeout Chinese isn't really comparable. Like it's not good. Like we love it because like it's cheap and greasy and gross, but it's not good.
Yes.
And that's kind of the reality of it. Like he's not good food and he's like old expired food that you need to throw away.
Oh God. Is he like, does that include white rice? There's nothing worse than even day-old like, white rice.
Yeah, like, he, not only is he, like, that three-day-old, like, crispy rice that you leave in the fridge in that white container, where it's like, oh, why is it all hard?
It's all hard! The first day, it's so nice and, like, soft, and you can lump it together and, like, pinch it, and it's, like, gooey.
Yeah, it's, like, perfect.
Yeah.
And you leave it in the fridge, and, like, if you don't put the rice in, like a sealed... like glass sort of container.
Right. Which you
like
don't.
It's over.
Like
what you have to do.
It's completely transformed into a horror show.
It's disgusting. And it's not only the rice, if you get like, you know when you order it could be like any sort of the chicken, like they do a very light breading on it and they fry it at a really hot temperature. That's how you get like that crispness with the sauce.
Yes.
If it's done right. I mean, you could have bad Chinese food and if it's soggy, I mean, I kind of feel bad for you. But, like, that's how it is. So, like, you also can't reheat that well either. And then it just stays there and the sauce just absorbs into, like, the light breading and it's just gross. And it's just, like, just throw it out. Why am I wasting space in the fridge? I can fill it up with other things. And that's how I feel about Emmanuel Mudiay. Like, you can give his roster spot to someone else. Just release him. He's not good. He hasn't been good for 3 years. What more evidence do you need besides, like, these extra two games? It's just, like, the cherry on top.
So, I agree with everything you're saying. Just couldn't agree more. The only argument I'll make for keeping Mudiay for a little bit, and this might be the keep him until Trier's two ways up and then cut him, is I do think it's politically a little tough to cut him when you gassed him up in preseason. You got Fizdale being like, I'm going to get you right. And, you know, he's a lottery pick. I could see, like, his agent being annoyed. Why'd you trade for him and blah, 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 if he wasn't in your plans and all that kind of thing. That's, like, the one thing. From a basketball talent standpoint, I could not agree with you more. And they do just need to get rid of him, clear the fridge. Clear out that fridge. You're not going to eat it. But it could be tricky. And that's tough to say from our position. But that's the only thing.
I mean, that's complete. I get that part. Mm. But it's just, I'm just talking like on the court. Like, yeah, you really can't just get rid of him. And just to clarify, the controversial part of that, which I don't think is controversial, is me saying takeout Chinese food isn't good.
It's just not so sophisticated. It could be exactly what you want and be completely soul nourishing, but it's not going to be nutritious. Absolutely. It'll not help you have good BMs. You'll probably have bad BMs. Not because it's dirty, but because it's like fattening and spicy, you know. It's not like some racist shit like, oh, it's Chinese, you know, it's gross. Like, it's not that. It's like takeout Chinese is like fatty, bad for you food. It's not nourishing.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing when you go to like the hole in the wall burger place that's super greasy.
Exactly.
Like they're not like, yeah, they're good burgers, but like they're not good burgers at the same time. And you're exactly. Going there because like it's greasy, it's like meaty, like the buns are soaked with it, and like it has like this weird mayo, mustard, ketchup sort of concoction, and like the saltiness from the pickles go in. Like,
but at the end of the day, you're having bad BMs. That's what's gonna happen. You know what I mean?
That's all I was getting at. So, like, yeah, I was gonna say like, yeah, I get that we all love takeout, but let's be real.
Yes.
Like just go to Chinatown. Go into one of the places that's like downstairs under the building where you have to walk down those steep ass stairs that you're going to die on if you slip. Go to one of those restaurants where no one speaks English.
Yes.
And just go to one of those places. You won't regret it.
Completely agree. Emmanuel Mudiay, 5 to 7 day old takeout Chinese food. Perfect metaphor. Let's move on. I want to talk about the front office. Specifically, I want to talk about the front office being patient this coming season. So for me, the front office being patient this coming season is the same thing as roasting pork butt, also sometimes known as pork shoulder. I'm talking the 8 to 12 pound variety, and I'll explain. So pork butt, pork shoulder, It has a robust flavor, but a very tough texture with lots of connective tissue that needs to be broken down. And in order to break it down, you need to cook it for extended periods of time. You need about 8 hours in an oven at 250 degrees to properly break down all of that connective tissue. It's a long wait. It can be boring if you got nothing else going on, but at the end, something mouthwatering and unbelievably delicious will reward you. So this is the world's most perfect metaphor, in my opinion, for this season in the front and the front office, because in order for them to be successful, they need to stick to their stated goal of building through the draft, of not getting enamored with the next shiny asset, whether it's a Jimmy Butler or whoever else might not make sense right away, not trading away assets. And to continue this flawless analogy, I'll let you speak soon, Drew. Once the pork has been properly, slowly roasted, something I figured out recently was you can actually, once you've roasted this pork all day, you can actually crank the oven up to 500 degrees and just blister the shit out of the skin and have just an out-of-this-world treat. Have you ever had, like, really crispy pork skin, Drew?
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
It's so, like, I can't even describe how good it is. And if you haven't had it, listener, do yourself a favor. Get your hands on some crispy pork skin at once. So the Knicks equivalent of turning the stove up to 500 to blister the skin and put the finishing touches on the pork shoulder would be diving into free agency, but only once you've done the correct amount of cooking. You can have that splashy finish, but you've got to put in the work first. And the other good thing about a roast pork is that you can garnish it in a million different ways with like a million different sauces. And I feel like if you're patient, which is what I want the Knicks front office to be, you give yourself options. You don't lock yourself into any one path, whether that's how you build the team. You know, when you develop all these guys, you start to figure out what their skill sets are, and you can then figure out what you need to build around them, or you have more assets to put into a trade. Either way, you just have a more stocked cupboard. You're able to do more things. So for me, I want this front office to be patient, and I think at the end they will have a delicious roast pork shoulder with a blistery, crispy skin and a bunch of sauces to choose from to garnish if they do this thing right.
When you said to crank it up to 500, I was thinking, like, is he just doing that to brown it after the fact? Like, why wouldn't you brown it beforehand? But then it made all sense that you actually had the, you know, the pork shoulder with the actual skin on it and not just like a fat layer and skinless. I was so confused. I'm like, what are you talking about? Why are you browning it? Like, reverse that white thing. It doesn't even make sense. But no, I mean, yeah, that's a good analogy. Like, you have to stay patient with it. And anyone who's even made pork shoulder, even just in a like a crock pot.
Which I just did the other day. Also a good option.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you have to put it on, like, the 8-hour option.
Yes.
Like, you can't do it at, like, the 4 to 6 if your crockpot has that option. You can't really do 4 to 6. It's really not enough time.
Even if you crank it up to the high, it's, nah, yeah, it doesn't. I've done that. I've done, like, half when I was trying to rush it. Like, I decided I wanted pork at 2 in the afternoon. And I'm like,
yeah, I'm like, it's just not the same.
I'm like, let me put it on high for 2 hours just to give it a bump. It's different. it's really different. Like, it's not the same. They got to slow cook this thing.
Yeah, you got to get up in the morning and put that thing in.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Well, ooh. On a weekend, if on a weekend you do it in the oven, like, obviously don't go to work, you know, roasting a pork shoulder in your oven. Like, that's just a bad idea. You can leave it in a crock pot, but don't do it in the oven.
Yes, I agree completely. So no disagreement with the actual basketball side of things here, Drew? You want a slow roast?
With you. Yeah, I mean, there's no point in trading for anything, for anyone right now. I mean, like, unless Minnesota wants to trade, like, Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway for Jimmy Butler, like, other than that, like, there's no point in trading anyone. Like, Butler's going to make them, like, a fringe playoff team, probably, right? So
Kyrie's kind of almost definitely not leaving now. He's starting to say explicitly, like, I'm not going anywhere. I think he said in some fan event that he was definitely re-signing with Boston, and I just saw some tweet. Maybe it was in Slack. I don't remember where. You might have seen this too. You might have been the one who posted it.
Yeah, I mean, have fun in Boston.
But yeah, but it's, I mean, especially...
I love Kyrie, but have fun there. The Knicks will just sign Kevin Durant. It's okay.
Oh, there we go.
Or Giannis in the year after.
Okay. I think we've covered this. We're both in agreement. Got to slow roast this pork shoulder. Why don't you talk about... Pick the next one you want to talk about from your list. Spoiler alert. We're going to talk about Kevin Knox in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to rap at you cats for a second about something that's very important to me. And that's attending live events. I mean, you never know what can happen at a live event. You might be at Timberwolves practice and Jimmy Butler will start screaming at the GM, calling him a bum, calling his teammates bums, saying, you need me, you can't win without me. You never know. That's the kind of thing that can happen at a live event. It's unpredictable. That's part of what we love about them. But you can't go to live events without doing something predictable, and that's copping some tickets. Where are you going to get them? You're going to get them from Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats, Vivid Seats. I mean, this place, Vivid Seats, what can I say about it? It's an app, first of all. I can say that. Get it wherever you get apps. You guys are smart. You can figure that out. You go in there. You pick wherever you want to sit at this live event. It could be a sports game. It could be a music concert. It could be a Broadway play. It could be anything. You go to Vivid Seats. You select your section, your row, even your seat. Can you believe that? That's incredible. But even more incredible than that is, for being a Locked On Knicks user, you can get $20 off your first purchase of $200 or more simply by using our discount code Locked On. Once again, use the code Locked On at checkout on your first order of $200 or more using Vivid Seats, and you'll get $20 off that order. What more can you say? Vivid Seats.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about Kevin Knox, like, as a player. And what I'm saying Kevin Knox is a nice ball of fresh mozzarella. So... Ooh. Fresh mozzarella is a little play on, like, you know, Kevin Knox is a rookie, so he's fresh in the league. Yeah. Fresh mozzarella is, you know, a fresh-made sort of cheese. Like, it's not like you're aging it, like a cheddar or anything like that. And what's great about fresh mozzarella is you can use it for so many different things. You can – I think it's the Caprese salad. You can have it for a salad, right? You can even chop it up into different salads, into, like, cubes to add something like that. Mm-hmm. You can throw it on a – prosciutto sandwich, you know, on like a nice bread. You don't need to like do a light little toast of the bread, put a little oil and some pepper with some prosciutto and fresh mozzarella. Mm-hmm. You have a great sandwich. You can throw some arugula on that, or you can do a fresh mozzarella and toast it up a little bit to melt a little bit on like a chicken parm sandwich. Ooh. That's always a good thing. Or you can do, you know, the Naples route and make a pizza you have that sort of, or if you have that type of oven. Not all ovens can actually cook Neapolitan style pizzas. Keep that in mind. Like, you don't try it. Like, you need it blistering hot, and not all ovens can actually crank up to like that.
To like 800 degrees.
Yeah, I think it's 800. I was going to say 700, but I think that's too low. Yeah. Like, it doesn't crank up to 800. Like, you can do like a pan pizza in the oven. You can do like a New York style in like your conventional oven, because that cranks up to, you know, like the 550, the 525 range. Mm-hmm. Can't do Neapolitan style.
No.
At home, unless you actually have one of those, like, don't they make, like, portable Neapolitan ovens?
I mean, rich people definitely build pizza ovens in their backyard, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's definitely not us, so we're definitely not building Neapolitan
not ovens yet, in our backyard. Not yet, not unless you guys tell your friends about Locked On Knicks. Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So the reason why I picked fresh mozzarella for Kevin Knox is...
Wait, hold on, you can also take a bite out of it like it's an apple.
Yeah, you can. If you really want that cheese in your mouth, you can just bite into it like that. But so fresh mozzarella is a very versatile cheese. And I think Kevin Knox is going to be a very versatile player, like, moving into, like, his career. Because we see little bits and pieces, like, you ask him to rebound, he rebounded. Like, hasn't he had, like, 10 rebounds in each of these past two games?
He did in the first one. I don't know about the second one.
Oh. Yeah, I could have made that up. But, like you need him to rebound, he's going to rebound. You need him to push in transition, he can push in transition. You need him to spot up in the corner, he can make a three. Like, he can do so many different things. And I think that versatility is going to go a long way to being like a really good type of like glue guy moving forward for the Knicks' future. Like, I think he's going to be a really, like, surprisingly a good player, because I wasn't that high on him coming into the draft. I wanted Miles Bridges, who, by the way, does look good in Charlotte. Just throwing it out there. But Kevin Knox has really surprised me. I think he's going to be, I think this kid's really going to be good.
I think he's going to be awesome, and he is showing the potential for a really diverse skill set. So I agree with that. And interestingly enough, I've come to the realization recently, I feel like mozzarella is such a basic cheese, but I was like, fuck it. It's maybe my favorite cheese. I'm sorry. I don't care that it's not the most complex, grimiest, smelliest flavor ever, which there's a place for. I like that stuff too.
Well, fresh mozzarella or like the whole milk, like block mozzarella?
Fresh mozzarella.
Okay. I mean,
yeah, and it's just so good. A mozzarella di bufala is also so good. You know, it's so tasty.
Yeah, and what's great about it too for fresh mozzarella is like it can like absorb sort of flavors. So like you can put like some oil and pepper on it, and you'll get like a nice rich oil, you know, an oil taste to it if you have like good olive oil. And then, you know, a nice cracked pepper. Like, it does taste good that way as and, well with the salad with the tomatoes.
Well, totally. I'm with you 100%. Let's move on to... I'm going to go with Tim Hardaway Jr.'s shot selection. Okay. So, for this upcoming season, what can we expect out of Tim Hardaway Jr.'s shot selection? And here's what I'm going for with the food analogy. It's going to be like opening seamless... closing your eyes and picking a sushi restaurant at random and ordering. So here's where I'm going with this. First of all, ordering sushi delivery is never going to be the best of the best. And likewise, I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is never going to be among the best in the league at picking his spots. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think shot selection is always going to be something that he's going to struggle with to some degree, even as he could improve that. That being said, delivery sushi can be decent. It can even be pretty good. And so can Hardaway's shot selection. I think he does have games where he picks his spots well, and he only has, say, like one heat check, you know, maybe one other stupid shot, which he shouldn't have done. And you can see that from him. It's not, like, beyond his reach. But delivery sushi, much like Timmy's shot selection, is also, especially if you're doing this close your eyes, what's the word? Russian roulette style of picking the restaurant, it could be a disaster. It can give you food poisoning. It can make you sick for weeks. You could get one of those places that sells sushi and Thai food and also pizza and hamburgers and fried chicken and mozzarella sticks. You never want all those things on the same menu. It's always a disaster. And even though I'm a Timmy stan and I think he can still improve, I do think no matter what, we're going to see games this season where his shot selection is a disaster. Hopefully it's not for these really long stretches where he continues to struggle and refuses to admit that he's struggling and just keeps shooting 10 three-pointers. It's interesting because I do complain sometimes that people need to shoot more, and I like Tim because he's one of those guys who just guns and guns and guns, but you can't continue to justify it if you continue to shoot, especially at the percentages he shot last year. Like, that's just insanely low. But even if it's a couple points better, you know, he's got to be better at picking his spots, so... I don't know. Like, for this season, do I hope he's better at it? Yeah, but I also know you wrote about this in your article that went up today. He's going to be thrust into a role that he's not built for again, where he's going to be forced to come up with a huge percentage of the offense, and he's not fit to be that number one guy. So I think he's still going to struggle there. What do you think?
Well, I do think he's going to struggle, and if you're not reading my articles on posting and toasting, I mean, that really hurts my feelings. So if you don't want to hurt my feelings, go give me clicks and don't likes hurt his on Twitter feelings. And retweets.
Don't hurt Drew's
and,
feelings.
Like, don't hurt my feelings. I need all the clicks and the likes, so then I can go to like, so then like people be like, oh wow, this guy's really good. I like writing. Maybe like the Athletic won't hire Frank Isola and they'll hire this guy, sort of thing, right? Like, that's why you need to go and click on my articles to support me, so it makes me look like a bigger deal.
It's true.
But anyway, I would say Tim kind of going off like that mysteriousness of the sushi. Yep. Remember that like that candy back in like the 90s, or it could have been early 2000s. It was like a Disney Wonder Ball, and it's like it was like a ball of chocolate, and you had no, and there was like always something on the inside, and you never knew what was in the inside.
I don't know. But this sounds like a Kinder Egg, which they banned for a while because stupid American kids were just eating them and swallowing Legos and shit, whatever was inside this chocolate ball.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's yeah. So I wrote about Tim, and I'm kind of worried, like you are, because if you haven't read the article, just kind of quick overview. Like when Porzingis got injured, Tim took like all the shots, mm-hmm. and he took a lot of shots even with Porzingis. He was like second on the team, and that's not his ideal role. And now that Porzingis is like, you know, gone for probably, we're gonna assume most of the season, maybe all of it. Like we don't really know, and with you know. Like a rookie in Knox, another young player in Ntilikina. Lance Thomas sure as hell isn't going to take shots. Like, someone needs to shoot the ball, and it's going to be Tim. And then defenses are going to target Tim. And because of that, I don't know if he's going to, like, correct anything. And yeah. That's going to be a problem moving forward because he's under contract, not for just the year, but right, is it another 2 years? It's technically two because he has a player option, right?
Yes, that's right.
So, like, if he doesn't improve his efficiency and take better shots, that's going to be really problematic if, like, the Knicks want to compete, right? Because, like, say they do sign a free agent. They probably won't. But let's just say they do. Like, you need Hardaway to be that, you know, off-the-ball efficient scorer. And if he's not going to be that, and he's at $18 million.
It's a problem.
Like, it's going to be a huge problem. Like, he needs to be better. It's, to, like, justify that contract and, like, actually help the Knicks in the future.
It's really interesting because you talk about the importance of, you specifically, Drew, of players being in the right role all the time. And that, it's huge. It really is huge. And for him specifically, because I do believe that he works on his game. Like, I don't think he's a lazy kid. I think he wants to get better. I think he has the capacity to get better. But seeing him, again, it's just preseason, but seeing him these first couple games still trying to kind of fulfill that role of the top guy while KP's out, it's been a little distressing because mm-hmm. I sort of lost sight of, even though I knew he was miscast in sort of what he had to do last year, especially once KP went down, but I was like, you know, I do believe in Tim. I think he can keep improving. But these first two games had me thinking, man, could he be worse? Could he actually get worse? Because he just... Again, all the caveats. So far, he's looked bad. Like, that's, I don't know, right? I mean, is that...
Yeah, no, I do not think he's looked good.
He has not looked good so far. That means next to nothing, honestly, but, like, especially in terms of, like, how well you shoot. But he's been doing some of that same stupid, like, these leaning three-pointers when he's not really mm-hmm. open. It's not so much the shot's not falling, it's these decision-making processes, which we are seeing still looking pretty problematic. And that's what worries me. About him
yeah,
this
that's
season.
That's what I felt was more the issue. Like, if he was taking better 3-point shots and missing them, I'd be like, I wouldn't worry too much. Yeah. Like, it is the preseason. 3-point attempts and makes, they fluctuate a lot throughout the year. There's tons of valleys with it. So, like, I wouldn't be too worried. But if he was taking better shots, I'd be like, yeah, it's fine. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But, like, he's not taking better shots. Like, he's taking really bad shots.
Yep. In conclusion, Tim Hardaway Jr., is his shot selection this season will be the same thing as opening Seamless, closing your eyes, picking a sushi restaurant at random, and ordering. And for those who are, we have many international listeners, Seamless is just an app that allows you to order food for delivery on your phone. And it's huge in New York City because there are a billion restaurants in every neighborhood that deliver. So that's what Seamless is. Just you know, we're for the children, education here. Keeping our conversation amongst the backcourt. Drew, mm-hmm. why don't you tell us about the point guard battle that's shaping up this upcoming season and tie it in with food somehow?
So, the point guard battle, I've really thought about this one really hard because I didn't really know how to approach it because I was trying to debating how I actually feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, part of me is like, it's a pointless battle in a way because, like, you're talking about, like, three guards who aren't really, like, that good right now. They all have flaws.
Sure.
It's like, so what's something, so what's like a component that has like three things that has flaws in it, like three things you don't want? And I'm like, that's not really good because like I love food. So like I don't really hate a lot of things. especially like multi like component things. I'm like, that's not going to work. And then I came to settle on pineapples on pizza.
Interesting.
So the reason
I need to be talked into this. Yeah, explain this.
Okay, so pizza's great. We love eating pizza. And
strong agree.
Right. The pizza part of this is Frankenberg. Now, I've been critical of Burke, and I'm finally coming around, even though I don't ever want to say that I was wrong, because all good take givers never admit wrong. They double down.
Yep.
They do that.
And then you pretend you never said it if it becomes
and
too
then
much.
You pretend you never said it. Like, you just need to just go full gasbaggery. But you know what? I'm going to go, like, half gasbaggery and just be like, I was kind of wrong about Burke. So, like, I'm, like, still kind of towing it. But, like, he's shown good things. Yes. And we all love Frank. Frank is great. We love Frank. He's like the son I never probably will have. Even though we're probably only, what, like 10 years apart in age?
That's about right.
It sounds about right. Like, we all love Frank. And we like Burke. We all love pizza and Burke.
Yep.
So the pineapple part is Moutier, who ruins this whole thing. Because there's an actual good debate and healthy competition between Burke Neil Aquino, because they're like basically opposites. Like, Burke is actually good on offense, but he can't play defense. Frank isn't that good on offense, but he can really play defense. And they both add value in different way, where they're still like plus players. And there's like that tension to help, you know, make each other better. And it's like a real battle. And you can like flip a coin right now at this point, who you should start.
Right.
But Moutier, the answer is no. He shouldn't start and he shouldn't get minutes. And he ruins the pizza. And then pineapples ruin pizza. And if you're someone who thinks pineapples are good on pizza, you're a sociopath.
Here's the thing.
I'm saying
Drew,
it right now.
Here's the thing. I might be a sociopath. I'm not going to say that pineapples are good on pizza. I've had a good pineapple pizza. I have. You don't want big fat chunks from like, I could hear the disgust just flowing through.
I am so angry right now.
You don't want big fat chunks out of a can poured onto your Domino's. But I've been to a fancy pizzeria, actually in my neck of the woods, Weeded in Ditmas Park. Fantastic. Most underrated pizza in the city. And they do this thing where it's like a really thin slice, and it also comes with something spicy, like a fennel sausage or something like that. And it's actually quite good. There's a time and a place for sweet and savory, right? And I know what you're thinking. It's like the sweet with the marinara is gross, but it can be made to work, but it needs to be a borderline miracle. So maybe that still works with your Moutier analogy. Moutier could still pull himself up somehow. Like, it's
no,
not...
he can't. Nope. No.
I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. But there's like a 0.001% chance.
You know, in statistics, it's
really not. I don't believe that. But
like in statistics, there's like a thing where it's always at like the 99th percentile, even though if you run a t-statistic and it says like 0.00, like on like your output of whatever analysis you're doing, there's always a one, right? As in like there's always an off chance, even in statistics.
Yes,
I'm still saying right now there is 100% chance this will never work, and I would love for it to work. I hate being this critical about anyone. Like, it sucks, but like that's just the reality of it. Like, I don't buy it. Like, pineapple on pizza isn't going to work. Like, have you ever put accidentally too much sugar in a tomato sauce? It ruins everything.
I don't add sugar to tomato sauce, but...
Well, you never, like, had to break up the acidity when you're making a sauce?
I like a pretty acidic sauce, I gotta say. I might throw in, like, a little bit of... I haven't added sugar. I know that's a thing that some people do. I like sugar in my coffee, and I've put too much sugar in coffee, and it's disgusting. I have a very strong sweet tooth.
Okay, if you want to redo the qualification thing instead of pineapples on pizza, I could say too much sugar in coffee. It's the same sort of concept. Like, it just doesn't work. It ruins everything. Like, coffee is wonderful. I'm drinking coffee right now. I'm drinking Dark Matter Unicorn Blood coffee. Shout out to Dark Matter Coffee in Chicago.
Sure. Best. Why not?
Coffee roasters. You should sponsor Locked On Knicks so James and I can get free coffee.
I'm into
it. Just throwing it out there.
I got to ask. Speaking of beverages, I'm drinking a Bud Light Tall Boy. Shouts to Anheuser-Busch. Love you guys.
You guys want to be a sponsor on Locked On Knicks?
If Bud Light or Bud Heavy sponsored Locked On Knicks, I could die happy. That'd be it forever. I gotta, before we move on, though, if Burke and Frank are pizza, which they clearly have different strengths, what kind of, is Frank New York style pizza and is Burke Neapolitan? Mm. I don't think that's quite right. I think Burke's more like Chicago, which people give all this shit, but it's still just bread, cheese, and sauce. Like, I'm a New Yorker. I prefer a New York slice or one of, the fancy, Motorino style, those smaller kind of individual type pies or whatever. That's fine. That's all, or Pauly G's, whichever, Roberto's, wherever you want, that kind of, new school pizza. I feel like if I had to put Burke, he'd be Chicago style, which is still good. Give me a break. People are like, it's disgusting. Well, it's a casserole. Well, fine, it's a casserole, but it's still bread, cheese, and sauce. How bad could it be?
Well, here's the thing with Chicago pizza. There's two different types of Chicago pizza that I don't think people actually realize.
Hit them with it, Drew. Preach!
So, there is the, the deep dish. And usually, there's three pizzas in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for a long time. Trust me, I well-versed myself in the Chicago pizza scene.
I trust you.
During my youth. So, there's the deep dish, which is usually the known thing, but I think it gets confused a lot with is stuffed pizza.
Oh.
And if you don't know what stuffed pizza is, it's like the larger version of deep dish. It just, it's literally stuffed with sauce and cheese and extra things. It's giant. It's full of cheese.
Is there crust on top of it too? Is it like a pie?
No.
No. Okay.
It's kind of interesting. It does have the feeling of what's it called? A hot water crust pie, but without the top. It has that sort of thickness to it, in the inside, but there's no meat or anything in it.
I see.
But it's basically a thicker deep dish, and it has the sauce on top. Keep that in mind. There's certain deep dish places that don't always do the sauce that's served on top. If you're up in the Pequod's, they do it a little differently.
Okay.
So
I've heard Pequod's is the good stuff.
Pequod's is the good stuff. And if you want to do the chain, Lou Malnati's is actually of the chains, Gino's East and Giordano's. Not good. Don't waste your time. If you are for whatever reason staying in River North or the Loop, go to Lou Malnati's to get.
I think I figured it out. I think Burke's Bagel Bites.
Burke's Bagel Bites, because he's a...
Because he's tiny. Have
him in the morning and in the evening.
Yeah, you could have him at supper time with Trey Burke on a bagel. You could eat pizza anytime. It's a little tasty treat, but you don't want to sustain yourself off of it. And Frank
That's
is
fair.
Right? And Frank is more of a New York style slice.
No. Frank is Detroit style pizza.
This is wild. The sheet pan pizza?
Yeah, so Detroit style pizza is similar to the deep dish. It's Ooh. Deep dish cousin. Just so you know, also before I get on the Detroit style side, there's also the Chicago thin crust bar pizzas, which are absolutely fantastic.
I love a bar pie. Is that a Chicago thing?
No, they really focus on almost it's not like a graham, not a graham, it's almost like a cracker crust sort of thing. It's really paper thin and it's really crispy, and that's a huge part of the Chicago bar scene as well. It's not just deep dish pizza. If you go to local bars and stuff, the really good local bars, the people who sound the Bears.
I think I've had that sketch. Exact pizza in New Jersey, though. Shout out to Bunny's in South Orange. They have this, it's like a shitty bar, but they made their own pizza with a cracker thin crust.
Yeah,
that was weirdly pretty good.
Yeah, they do that. But anyway, let's get back to the Detroit style pizza. So you have to make it in a specific tin. And it's a metal tin. I forget what it's made of off the top of my head. I'm sorry, pizza snobs who listen to Locked On Knicks. But with it, they don't use mozzarella cheese. They use something called Wisconsin brick cheese.
Oh yeah, that's gross.
And no, it's actually really good. The brick cheese, it has very similar consistency to mozzarella. And
it's not like cheddar-y? I thought it was something gross like cheddar-y.
No. Wisconsin brick.
Okay.
Whoever told you to put cheddar cheddar on pizza is also a sociopath.
Yes, that's
unbelievable. Should be sent to Alcatraz if that's still a thing.
That's something Mario Hazania would do, I think.
Probably. But no, the reason why he gets Detroit because Frank is, he plays defense. He's gritty, like Detroit. The rap scene in Detroit is that grittiness. And because it's Wisconsin brick, you know, Frank's a brick on defense. He just, you know, like he's doing so, and he also like brick shots too. Like it's just
fuck you, Drew.
So he's like that. And by the way, like Detroit style pizza is probably like the most underrated pizza in the country. Right. It's
That works. So. That works for Frank big time.
That also works too. Like I mean, if you get a chance to have some good Chicago, not Chicago, Detroit style pizza, you should get it.
Okay, I think we talked a little bit about basketball during
a little bit
during that previous pizza segment. Let's keep moving. I
think it's your turn now.
It is my turn. I forgot like where I am for a second. Am I in my apartment? Am I still on Earth? Okay. Let's talk about Mitchell Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of struggle with this. I'm not sure if I believe it, which is not a great way to introduce it, but I'm going to see if I can talk myself into it. I think Mitchell Robinson could be sort of like a souffle this season. So a properly made souffle is a real like showstopper of a dessert, and it kind of seems like it defies physics. You've got to eat it soon or it starts to collapse out of the oven. But it's also really easy to fuck up if you don't know what you're doing. And like a fucked up souffle is gross and it's bad and you don't want it. But you also don't need a souffle for a great meal. Just like you don't need a second round pick to become an all-star. But if there is a souffle, like at your house party is not, but at like your dinner party, you know? Or if you do turn your second round pick into an all-star, like you've just kicked this shit up several dozen Emeril Lagasse style notches. And it's something that no one will ever forget, maybe. Mitchell Robinson's season will be his souffle. Because if it reaches its stunning highs, you'll be like, oh my God, what do we have here? But it could all collapse. Mm-hmm. If it's, I don't even know if... The one thing where I disagree with this analogy, I don't know. It could all collapse even if they do everything right. The thing with a souffle is that it's very easy to mess up. I don't know that like Mitchell Robinson's development is so easy to mess up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's going to be some rocket science for what the Knicks have to do to develop him. It's just a matter of if he has it in him to be able to like process the game quickly, right? And make quick decisions. Obviously, he has incredible athleticism and can do things quickly once he makes up his mind. But how will he see the game? Will he be able to read offenses as a defensive anchor, as a center type player? You know, what's he going to do on offense? There's all these questions around that. So that's the one thing where I think it kind of differs from a souffle, but great potential for amazingness and great potential for disaster. Disaster strong for not working out well.
I could see that. Have you ever had a savory souffle?
I don't know. I don't think I have. I know when researching this, I came across like there were specifically dessert souffles, and I was like, oh, I only think of souffle as dessert. Would Yorkshire pudding be a savory souffle? It sort of looks like it. No, right? Because it's just like bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know what places are in New York and Brooklyn, but there's a place in Dallas. I also lived in Dallas. It's called Rise. They make both savory and dessert souffles. It is top notch. I highly recommend any Dallas listeners with the Locked On Knicks Network to go to Rise. You can get like a nice wine flight. You can get like these like different savory souffles. Like they have one that looks like salmon, and then they have one with like mushrooms and truffle oil. They have I think they have like a lobster souffle.
Just like with mozzarella, I had a revelation where I was like, I don't care if it's basic, I love it. I had a similar revelation with truffle oil recently, because when you think about truffle oil, it's like fancy fries at a fancy brew pub for bros, but fuck it, truffle oil is delicious. Truffles are delicious. I don't care.
I mean truffle oil fries are fantastic.
They're great.
They're amazing.
It's like, especially a bro-y thing. It's like a fancy bro thing, but I don't care, it's delicious.
And it's also really good on like a Neapolitan style like white pie. Nice little add truffle oil to it. I mean, the souffles thing makes sense. Like Mitchell Robinson could go terribly wrong. Like what if he turns out to be like Anthony Randolph?
I just had like the room got cold.
Yeah, for all you the younger Knicks fan listeners on there, that's a that's someone you don't want
to
be.
No, but it's just the thing is with him, to me it's all It's like he's a souffle after a great meal. So, like, if it doesn't work out, it's fine. That's the kind of the thing. Like, if Mitchell Robinson works out, you're just in heaven. And, like, mm-hmm. you're so far ahead of the game if he can reach his potential from where they drafted him, especially on the contract, which they savvily signed him to, very cheap, for the next, 3 or 4 years. So, it's, you know, like, they don't need him to happen is kind of my overarching thing. So, you only have, it's like gambling with house money. Is Mitchell Robinson. You know, like, you've gone to the casino with $200, you immediately want $100, and you're like, fuck it, I'll put $100 on black right now on roulette. Like, I don't even care, because it's not my money. It's like, that's the sort of thing with Mitchell Robinson. And it's kind of anyone's guess, I think. Obviously, he's shown all the potential in the world, but again, you never know. He seems a little strange to me. He seems like a dedicated kid, but I'm not sure exactly where his head's at. Right now, I'm very optimistic, but I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't fulfill his potential. I think, is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. It's also not the end of the world. You're right. It's almost, right. It's icing on the cake if he works out, because he's probably someone who's really good to fit next to Porzingis moving forward.
Yep.
Because, like, he appears to be better equipped to defend the perimeter more than Porzingis. Like, you don't want either of those two guys, like, out on the perimeter. But, like, they can, and Robinson seems to be a lot faster and more agile.
Yes.
So he can recover better. So that's someone you kind of want with Porzingis.
Yeah.
So Porzingis can focus on defending the rim. And if Porzingis ever, like, is drawn out into space or, you know, is stuck in, like, a pick and roll, like, Mitchell Robinson is also appears to be also really good at defending the rim, too. So, like, it's not the end of the world.
Yep.
And Porzingis can shoot, and Mitchell Robinson can provide vertical spacing. So. Yep. Yeah, I mean, the two-play thing is maybe not perfect, but it does make sense.
It helps us get to where we need to go to explain Mitchell Robinson for this upcoming season, I think. So it's a good delivery vehicle for a discussion around Mitchell Robinson. That's all we're trying to do here. Have a nice, fun discussion. Drew, let's talk about... You just mentioned KP.
Okay.
Let's talk about KP.
All right, so we're going to talk about, like, his injury.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how do you approach it? And I was trying to come up with a couple things, and I had a couple ideas. One of them was called a dump noodle, but I scrapped that, and I'm going with a Genoese sponge.
A what?
A Genoese sponge.
I don't think I know what that is. I'm excited to learn more.
Yeah, so for all the Great British Bake Off fans out there listening to the show, I hope there's at least one person who's like, yeah, Great British Bake Show with Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry. I just hope someone's like, yeah, great reference. But a Genoese sponge is a specific type of a cake that you make. And in order to make a Genoese sponge, you have to you have to prep the egg whites very specifically to, I forget the specific method it's called. You know, when, like, you cook things, you have, like, the water, you have, like, the boiling water, and you have something on the top of it, and you gotta, like, mix it a certain way.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Well, you melt chocolate on a bowl over water?
Sort of, yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
So, like, that's part of the method of, like, doing the egg whites. And then, not only that, when you're mixing the flour into the egg whites, you have to fold it very, very delicately because the air that you generate from whipping the egg whites is what helps the sponge be light and fluffy and rise in the oven.
This sounds a little souffle-ish.
A little bit, but it doesn't go over the top, right? It's still a very thin, flat cake. And it's very difficult to pull off. And if you watch the TV show, these bakers have, like, so much trouble making a Genoese sponge. It's kind of heartbreaking, but it's also hilarious at the same time, because it's like, oh, good. At least I know, like, I would also screw up. Like, it's very nice to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I picked Genoese sponge is, like, it's so delicate to make, and you have to do everything precise. And I feel like that's how you have to treat Porzingis injury, because if you go too rough with mixing the egg whites into the flour, it's going to cause problems. So, like, or if you go too little, you'll get, like, egg white clumps. And that's always going to be gross. You don't want clumps of whipped egg whites in your cake. And it has to be perfect.
Uh-huh.
And I think for Porzingis' injury, for how they handle it, it almost has to be perfect because he kind of mentioned it in his press conference. Like, no one that height and that tall has ever recovered from an ACL injury. Like, how do you do it? Like, it's kind of really difficult to pull off. And in order for him to get back to who he was, the recovery has to be perfect. And in order to make a perfect Genoese sponge, like, your preparation in order to get that thing into the oven needs to be perfect. And that's how I think the Porzingis injury is. Like, they shouldn't take any shortcuts. They shouldn't try any, like, crazy sort of techniques to pull off something like that. Like, just stick to the recipe of whatever recipe they have and just kind of make it happen. That's what I came up with. I was really struggling a bit with this one, as you can see.
I think it worked, and because it's a delicate tightrope. You don't want to push him too far, too fast, obviously. But you've also got to be aggressive and get him stronger. Like, you can't just, like, go at it weakly. You know, you've got to build up those muscles. Yeah, I like it.
And then also, if you're too premature with it, so one of the things, the reason why I was actually going to pick this other thing called the Dampf Noodle, which is basically a German dumpling that you bake, is if you lift off the lid too early, it collapses internally, kind of like a souffle. If you pull it out too early, it collapses on the inside. So a Genoese sponge kind of operates that too. So if you open the oven, like, even just like 2 minutes too early, it collapses. So I think even for, like, Porzingis, like, you shouldn't rush it or force him to go either. Like, he needs to be, like, healed perfectly in order for this to work, because you don't want him re-aggravating anything.
100% agreement. Moving on, let's talk about Fizdale's first year as coach. I'm going to say this is a taco bar at, like, your friend's house. Like, they're having you over for taco night, but your friend really knows how to cook. Your friend is, like, an excellent amateur chef, has been making taco night forever, and there's just so many different possibilities, so many different flavors at this taco night at your friend's house. But how will they all come together? You know, will we just get, like, a pile of shredded lettuce, like, on a, how are we, it's up to us. Wait, let me, this is getting off the rails. Or will we get something?
So it's like, why are you putting lettuce on your tacos? Who puts lettuce on their tacos?
This is like a Tex-Mex thing. You know, you can put some shredded lettuce on a Tex-Mex. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, your friend, they put out, there is some shredded lettuce there, which is, like, not really doing much for anyone. That might be like Emmanuel Mudiay, right? So
it's the shredded lettuce of this?
Yes. So I think it's, I think the Knicks are all the ingredients, and it's up to Fizdale how he, because he has the green light to be shitty. Like, I think that, you know, they talk a big game about, we're going to go out there, we're not going to tank, we don't do that, this is Knicks basketball, blah, 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 blah. But they're clearly not prioritizing wins above anything else, right? So he's got the green light to do things that helps develop players, and he's got a lot of good young players to work with and to mold. So it's how well balanced is he going to make these tacos with all these ingredients, you know? How truly divine a taco is he going to be able to get out of this? Will he be able to innovate? You know, is there some fusion involved? Possibly an Asian influence? I don't know. It can come together in so many different ways, and so many of them good, because he's not going to be forced into trying to squeak out every single win. You know, and I feel like with him this season, this is kind of going back, you know, tying this back into tacos some more, even the worst case scenario will probably not be that bad. Like, I don't think he's going to be a disaster. I could be wrong, but I think the worst thing that's going to happen is that we get just, like, some tacos that are pretty basic from Fizdale without, like, a little bit of, like, a, oh, man, like, bacon crumbles. Like, that's interesting. That's cool. I wouldn't expect to see that at my taco. Like, maybe Fizdale doesn't put on the bacon crumbles or whatever. But I don't see him just completely, like, fucking up, punting a season, not developing guys, and throwing the Knicks off course. To me, it's, will he reach this truly, you know, divine height of, like, the ultimate taco and show himself to be one of the premier technicians, let's say, in the game? Or will he settle into something that's like pretty good, going to get the job done, but not what we hoped for it, that it could be like at its very best? I think I'm starting to make some sense of this. It made sense in my head, and as I read my notes, I was like, that's not exactly what I meant. So he's got this whole buffet to work with of ingredients. He's got lots of good ingredients, some of them shitty. How's he going to put them together? What are the tacos going to be like? Remains to be seen.
If you condense it like that, I think that kind of makes more sense.
He himself is not the taco bar, though. That's what I kind of had written down.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is we also just kind of need to wait and see what he does with everything. Like, we can't really judge him too much on the preseason and what they're running.
No.
Like, the Knicks running and everything. Because I know I made that mistake, was it about, like, 2 years ago? I did, like, a whole thing on, like, Jeff Hornacek, and I was like, yeah, Jeff really, like, improved the offense compared to, like, Fisher and Rambis. And I broke down, like, all, like, the preseason, like, plays and articles and everything. In an article, I was like, oh, this looks really good. I was like, the triangle looks a lot like CRISPR and everything, you know, with, like, a little better players. And, of course, it was a complete disaster. I overreacted. That article is now gone from the internet because it's utterly embarrassing. But, like, it's, like, one of those, like, so don't overreact to, like, Fisdale or anything, because if you're like, oh, the offense looks bad, well, it's like, they're not going to show off, like, everything that they're going to do
right
in the preseason. I think they're just more of, like, kind of like, hey, you need to do these little things, so do them. And they're really running, like, basic stuff, which is fine. It's not the end of the world. I think the defense, you know, it's just two games. I've kind of liked the way they've switched. But, yeah, I think we just need to kind of wait and see what he can do. And, yeah, you're right. I don't think Fizdale's actually going to be a disaster. I don't think he's going to be Hornacek or Fisher or anything like that.
I can't see it. Yeah. And there's no dinner party taco bar that you're going to go to where you're like, that was the worst shit of my life. It's just not going to happen. So, another flawless analogy.
Like have you ever had, like, a bad taco? I'm trying to think. Like, I don't know if I had. I've actually had a bad taco.
I had a taco once. I mean, my mom is one of the best cooks I've ever known. But one night, she just made like these gross. It was like ground turkey, but it was dry, and it just wasn't.
Ooh, dry! Nothing better than dry ground turkey.
Dry ground turkey tacos. wasn't doing it. Mom, shouts to you. You're a real one. You're a saint. You have made some of the best food I've ever had in my life, but those tacos that night just weren't doing it. But I can't believe people who cook for their kids every night are just like,
yeah, it's crazy.
The world's best people, because it's tough. It's tough out there. Okay. What do we got left?
You have Lance and Lee minutes in playing time.
Yep.
And speaking of children, what I came up with, this was probably the hardest one.
Mm-hmm.
To do even more worse than the Porzingis one, because I came up with a Genoese sponge that no one's ever heard of. I treat Lance and Lee's minutes as when you're a child having to eat vegetables.
Mm.
And it's like, as a kid, like, you don't want to eat the vegetables. You want nothing to do with them. Vegetables are gross. Like, broccoli is disgusting. What is cauliflower? Why is it pale broccoli? I'm trying to think of other, like, vegetables that you, like, eat as a kid. Like,
Brussels sprouts, which are delicious. Kids hate them.
Like, it's just, like, Brussels, they smell weird. You don't want to eat them. You
green
just want to
beans.
Have, like... Well, I would... Yeah, like, green... Well, peas also, like, why these weird green round things?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to eat vegetables. That's gross. You just want to go to, you know, go to, like, a diner and have, like, pancakes for dinner. Which I think, I'm assuming everyone in New Jersey has had at least pancakes for dinner at, like, a diner at 1 a.m. in the morning, I would hope.
Oh, my God. It's, yeah. I hope footage never surfaces of my behavior at diners after midnight from my high school days. That was
tough times. But, yeah, so I think Lee and Lance are, like, they're going to have to get minutes because they're on the roster. You don't want them to play. But you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Because, like, who else be, like, maybe Lee can make a case you don't need to play him, but Lance kind of has to play.
I mean, there's no other veterans. Like, they have to have a couple people who are a little, as much as I want to never see them again, just from, like, a, I like Lance a lot more than Lee. Lee sort of annoys me. I love Lance. I don't think he's very good at basketball, although a lot of that has been injuries, whatever. But he's just... But I like him a lot. Lee, I'm not as big a fan of. But they do need someone who... They do need a couple guys, like you said, who know what they're doing. They're going to know the schemes really well. You know, that's they're professionals. They've been doing this for a long time. I think both of their defense is extremely overrated. But it's also not like a dumpster fire. And they're going to need them to kind of right the ship a little bit as much as they can from time to time. So... Like I see it.
Yeah, and kind of like with vegetables, like they are good for you. Like you kind of have to eat them when you're a kid, even though you don't want to. Like you kind of have to eat them. Like you kind of have to have Lance play because he's kind of he does know what he's doing. Lee always kind of knows what he's doing, even though he takes those stupid technically they're pull up. Like comes off a curl, he, you know, pump fakes a three, does a pull up 18 footer. Like yeah. Gotta love those shots
instead of sidestepping.
Yeah, instead of sidestepping, he just pulls it. Like, that's very annoying. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, I would say Lance defense is also probably slightly overrated, too. I was kind of looking at the numbers, and...
It's very overrated.
In the posting and posting Slack, we were kind of, like, discussing it, too. Like, his isolation numbers are really good. And you kind of see that, too, kind of like when he locked up D'Angelo Russell. But as we know, D'Angelo Russell isn't actually good.
I mean, that was great. I loved that play. But like you said, D'Angelo Russell is not good, and there were only like 4 seconds left in the shot clock when he got it. Whatever. It was a good play, but it wasn't like Lance locked him up for a full 24. You know, like that didn't happen either. Well, so let's...
Yeah, so I think it's just one of those, like, you could see like Lance's strength on defense.
But he's good. Yeah, he can
and
be
he's
good.
And he's really good at that. He moves his feet well. He always stays in front. He puts a body in him. Like, he's really good that way. But off the pick and roll, he kind of dies on picks.
Yep.
But yeah, like I would just say like that. But yeah, I mean, like you kind of need him to play this year. Like someone needs to like tell everyone what to do.
So
he's the only like. Well, plus there's also the Kevin Durant element to it as well.
Which just having him around to be Kevin Durant's buddy.
No, but didn't Kevin Durant say that Lance Thomas was like his favorite teammate in Oklahoma City?
I think that's a quote that's out there. Yes.
Did I make that up? Reckless speculation?
Might be wishful thinking. But it's interesting you bring up vegetables because my last stunningly informative food analogy is basically the same thing, and it's for tanking. I had tanking this year as steamed broccoli with garlic salt. Maybe with sriracha, you know, something to like... And then the garlics to make it a little bit more palatable. Because when I say tanking, I've said this before on the show, but you might have missed that episode. I don't mean, like, signing bad players to throw games. I don't mean taking out players that have a hot hand. But I do mean that your first priority is developing young players. And because of that, you're not always going to make decisions in that moment that lead to the highest probability of winning that game. And that's the sort of tanking that I think the Knicks can and should do. And I think losing will take care of itself. And if it doesn't, we'll be so far ahead of the game with how good Fizdale is as a coach and how good these guys are as prospects, then I don't even care. But I do really believe that even if Fizdale coaches really well and these guys develop well, this is the NBA. You know, there are a bunch of other teams that have a bunch of other established players, and the Knicks are going to lose their fair share of games. But just like steamed broccoli, I think it's healthy. I think it's good for you. I think it can be boring. Like, to watch them lose isn't fun. Even if Kevin Knox does some new move that you haven't seen before, if the Knicks are losing by 30 to the Bulls, you're going to want to rip your pubes out. Throwback to a very popular phrase from last season of Locked On Knicks. It's the thing with tanking, I kind of touched on this a minute ago, you know, it's not the only way to get your nutrients, but you know you're getting your nutrients with tanking, like just like with steamed broccoli. Like sometimes with other healthy shit that's like maybe healthy, like falafel, you're thinking to yourself, well, it's chickpeas, but it's also fried. Is this actually good for me? Not so with steamed broccoli, not so with tanking. You know you're going to get that high pick. You know you're going to get... You know, hopefully, unless some lottery disaster happens, you're going to get a very good shot at a very good players. If the Knicks lose a bunch of games, you know, there's going to be lots of nutrients on the way in the form of a very high draft pick. And that's one of the most nutritious elements of any team's roster building diet. We don't love it. It's going to suck. But you're going to feel good in the long run. We talked about, this is a good full circle moment. We talked about BMs when we started with the takeout Chinese food. You eat a bunch of steamed broccoli, you eat a bunch of kale, any sort of greens, like you're going to have the most wonderful BMs almost immediately. I guarantee you. If you're in college right now and you're on the chicken fingers diet, I've been there. The food hall is disgusting. You can steam broccoli and have it be crispy and like kind of good. Food hall in your fucking college, the broccoli is going to be soft and like wilted and horrible. You're not going to want to eat it. The chicken fingers will still be okay because they'll be fried. And fried food's always okay. And all you're going to eat is chicken fingers. But you're not going to have good BMs. Eat some broccoli and your BMs will be wonderful. You'll be glad that you did later on. Not while you're eating it, but later on, it's going to help you out.
You know, I really want some chicken fingers right now.
You want to trade for Jimmy Butler. Trading for Jimmy Butler is eating chicken fingers.
I get some Raising Cane's chicken fingers right now. Man, that sounds so good.
How, when we talk about honey mustard,
mm-hmm.
Do you prefer a more mustardy or more honey-y honey mustard? With chicken fingers specifically.
Well, I don't usually do the honey mustard route with chicken fingers.
Do you find it gross, or is it just not your preference?
It's just not like a preference. Trust me. I like honey mustard. That's definitely not an issue. It's just more, when you go to Raising Cane's, they have like cane sauce.
Okay.
And it's really good. I don't really know what it's made of, actually. But yeah, then there's also like, if you go to like Chick-fil-A, the Chick-fil-A sauce.
Okay, yeah.
So good. So good.
But you need to answer the question about honey mustard.
Yeah, that's true.
More mustardy or more honey? Honey, this is important.
I think it needs to be almost like a 65-35 or a 60-40 balance, leaning towards mustardy.
Mm.
Like I kind of want something from the honey, but I don't want it to be completely like kind of like the grainy spice mustard, where you're like you're tasting like, you know, the spiciness of like peppercorns, right? That's in the mustard, like that spicy grainy stuff.
Is it? I don't know. I thought it was mustard seeds. Full mustard seeds.
Is it full mustard seeds? And that's the spicy part?
I thought it was. I could be wrong. Because you can't like eat a peppercorn. They're hard. But maybe if they're not freshly like harvested? Interesting.
I don't know. This is interesting. So there has to be other ingredients to make mustard than just mustard seed.
Nope.
No?
I really don't know. I just wanted to say that confidently. And we do need to wrap up, because now we are just so far gone from basketball.
Yeah, we're so far gone.
But that's
just
okay.
Tweet at us if you know the answer about what exactly mustard is made of, because we clearly don't know.
Oh my god. Drew, thank you so much for helping me break down the upcoming Knicks season via food. I'm not sure that there's ever been a greater achievement in Western civilization than what we just did. But
yeah, no, definitely not.
Right?
It's like the Constitution in this podcast.
I love that that's the example that you used. Drew, please let people know where they can find you online. And if there's anything you want to plug, do it here.
Yeah, right. So you can find me. Oh, I feel like I've plugged like so many different things.
You have. But you can re-plug them. You can add another one. Whatever you want.
But I just hope we get sponsored. You know, sponsor benefits now. Like, yes. I hope like Pequods is like listening to this. Like, oh, we got to get on this podcast. But anyway. You can find me on Twitter at ScooterToots, where I just, you know, there's more awful takes on food and TV and the Knicks. Yeah, I don't really take Twitter seriously. I usually, like, beg people to retweet and read my articles at Posting and Toasting. So continue doing that for obvious reasons, because, you know, if you don't want people like Frank Isola getting good jobs, you can get me good jobs or anyone at Posting and Toasting better jobs. So, like, do that. Like, download the podcast. Maybe James can host, you know, Locked On Knicks for the Athletics. Something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, prop us up. Not, you know, the bums that you don't like. So, definitely do that. So, that's what I'm plugging.
I love it.
I don't really think I have anything else to plug. There's a Tim Hardaway article I'm posting and toasting. So, do read that.
Dude.
And then I also have a Frank Ntilikina preview coming out. I don't know, soon, hopefully soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not like any other preview you've read before.
Oh my god.
I'm putting it out, like, talk about a teaser. and Cliffhanger.
Oh my god.
You've never read anything like this before. You may actually hate it.
Me? Specifically?
Oh no, just
the listener.
Because yeah, it is it's so self-indulgent.
It's not about anime, is it? Is it about Akira?
No, it's not, but I'd like to plug Akira.
That's it. Drew, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. All right, that's it for today's episode. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On Knicks and for listening to Drew talk about pizza for 35 minutes. If this is your first time tuning into Locked On Knicks, I promise we usually talk about basketball more, but we try to look at things from different angles sometimes. This was an experiment. Was it successful? I don't know. You tell me. But we're trying to put out the best product for you, and sometimes that means taking risks. All right? All right? I'm just playing. Thanks again. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show if you have not already. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks if you have not already. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks or follow me on Twitter at NBA Injury Report. If you go over there now, you'll see me taking a pot shot at Carmelo Anthony. It's got like 3,500 likes as of this recording. Can you believe that? Anyway, be chill to each other, which flies in the face of me making fun of Carmelo Anthony, but you know, it is what it is. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Only salt the pasta water. Take that. For data, Biggie's better than Pac. Peace.